First, unfortunately, an update on some bad news. A fiery crash on I-85 in Hillsboro yesterday morning killed the driver of a tractor trailer and shut down the interstate for several hours. Officials say the truck hit the NC-86 overpass, then flipped over and caught fire. The interstate's back open, but that NC-86 overpass is going to be closed for at least 2 days as state transportation officials inspect the bridge for structural integrity. So use Business Route 70, Lawrence Road, and Old NC-10 as a detour. And if you're driving around there in Hillsboro, expect some extra delays and extra traffic for the next couple of days at least. Now we head to Carrboro, where town staff may soon be getting a pay increase after a recent study that showed workers in nearby townships are getting paid more. With more on this, 97.9 The Hill's Sam Burmistaz.
A town worker in Carrboro receiving the middle range of salary for their position could be making around 10% less than a similar municipal worker elsewhere in North Carolina. That's according to a study conducted with Carrboro staff of salaries across its 163 individual positions and 91 different job titles. The study's recommendations were presented to the town council on Tuesday night. Among its suggestions are a 2% raise across the board and a raise to workers in the minimum salary range. Additionally, longtime workers could receive a raise based on the length of employment with the town. If adopted, the updates would equal a nearly 5% increase in total payroll. Councilmember Randy Haven O'Donnell said issues over pay have been a longstanding concern among staff, and they were glad the town was taking steps to address it.
I know that the question about classification and compensation has been a long haul, and I think for many staff over the years, it's been frustrating.
After the presentation of the report, members of the town council agreed to submit any lingering questions to town manager Richard White. The study was conducted by Management Advisory Group, which has worked in the past with municipal entities across North Carolina. The group is providing Carrboro with software to help keep salaries competitive over yearly changes and inflation down the road. One reason Carrboro needs to offer attractive salaries is because of competition from a high number of nearby municipalities. Councilmember Suzanne Romaine said,
"Maybe the best thing we can do in terms of having a stable staff is to be providing compensation necessary so that they're not jumping. As you said, we don't want Carrboro to be the training ground where we bring in staff and train, and then they're jumping around to these other nearby jurisdictions."
Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles said the council will consider whether to implement the raises at its next meeting on Tuesday, September 20th.
"It's an exciting opportunity for us to make good on what we've been talking about a lot over the past year, especially as we begin implementing the comp plan, which is to make sure that we have adequately prepared and resourced our staff to do the big job that we're asking them to do. So this is an important step for us to take."
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Sam Burmistaz.
In Raleigh, Governor Roy Cooper is calling on lawmakers to pass a bill exempting individuals from having to pay state income tax on President Biden's student loan forgiveness. It's already exempt from federal income tax, but North Carolina appears to be one of six states where individuals would have to pay taxes on the amount forgiven if the law isn't changed. Meanwhile, the State Utilities Commission began hearings this week over a proposal by Duke Energy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the next decade. Environmental advocates say Duke's plan doesn't go far enough. State regulators have until the end of the year to approve or reject the proposal. And mixed news on the COVID-19 front this week as new numbers came in yesterday from the state health department. North Carolina saw an uptick in hospitalizations last week, back over 1,000 after briefly dropping below. But the state also saw a 33% drop in COVID particles found in wastewater, down to its lowest level there since late April. Now to elections. With the midterm less than 2 months away, North Carolina's two major U.S. Senate candidates have agreed to one televised debate. Democrat Sherry Beasley and Republican Ted Budd will debate on October 7th. That'll be aired on Spectrum News 1. A recent survey from Public Policy Polling shows the two candidates in a virtual dead heat. I spoke with PPP Director Tom Jensen about what's driving those numbers.
You basically have two sort of countervailing trends that to some extent are balancing each other out. One thing that's pretty clear from our polling is that Sherry Beasley is a much stronger candidate than Ted Budd is. Her net favorability rating is 16 points better than his. She has a plus 10 favorability rating, 40% favorable, 30% unfavorable. He has a minus 6 rating, only 34% favorable, 40% unfavorable. So you would think with Beasley having a net favorability rating 16 points better than Budd's, that she might have a pretty healthy lead, what I think is balancing that out is, even though his numbers aren't as bad as they used to be, Joe Biden's still pretty unpopular in North Carolina. Only 41% of voters approve of the job he's doing, 54% disapprove. So you basically have this situation where Beasley's a stronger candidate than Bud, but she is still getting weighed down some by the fact that the president of her party's unpopular. And when you sort of take those two things together, you end up with this tie race.
That's Tom Jensen there. You can listen to the full conversation and read a transcript on our website, chapelboro.com. Closer to home, Chatham County school officials are putting out the call for a new school board member after Melissa Hlavik resigned from the board on Monday. If you want to apply to fill the vacant seat, you can apply now through September 28th at chatham.k12.nc.us. And the town of Chapel Hill announced yesterday that Chapel Hill and Carrboro are bringing back the annual holiday parade this year for the first time in 3 years. This year's parade will be Saturday, December 3rd. It's always been organized by the Raleigh Jaycees, but this year it'll be run by Chapel Hill Community Arts and Culture, with more of a focus on performances and entertainment and less on advertising and political campaigning. Get more info online at chapelhillarts.org. Finally, we turn to a new state law that allows cities to create social districts where people can walk on the sidewalk with a drink in hand. Raleigh launched its social district last month. Could we see a similar one in Chapel Hill? Carolina Connection's Sophie Mallinson reports.
Downtown Raleigh businesses were hit hard by the pandemic. Now, to help some businesses regain those losses, visitors may notice a slight change.
You guys want to open up a tab?
No, we'll just take it.
A few weeks ago, Raleigh launched Sip and Stroll, a pilot program for a social district. This allows visitors to carry and consume alcohol as they walk around designated parts of Fayetteville Street and the Warehouse District. Adam Eckhart, the owner of Crank Arm Brewing Company, held a kickoff event for the district. He says so far, it's been good for business.
Coming in the next day and the staff was like, whoa, people are really into this, the ability to responsibly drink an adult beverage and walk down the street and sort of view the city and go from place to place.
During the pandemic, Eckhart's business struggled like many, but with the new district...
The first week, I can say we were up 20%.
The district's creators wanted to incentivize people to return to business areas recovering from the pandemic at a slower pace.
I have always been a come from a place of yes person.
Raleigh City Council member Jonathan Melton is the chair of the Economic Development and Innovation Committee, and he pushed for the creation of this district.
You know, we're not trying to be like New Orleans or Las Vegas, but there are places where you can have this sort of social atmosphere. And the idea of being able to bring a piece of that to Raleigh while also helping with the economic recovery, I thought that was a unique opportunity.
Since this is a pilot program, the city council is looking at what does and doesn't work, the days, the times, the district's boundaries, and they're keeping a special eye on how this could impact substance abuse.
We want to make sure that we have folks who are getting the supportive services they need and that we're not cultivating an environment that may make things worse.
Raleigh Social District isn't the only one in North Carolina, and places like Charlotte and Durham are considering making districts as well. Carrboro is not planning one, but as for Chapel Hill, Mayor Heminger says the town council is considering it.
People want to go somewhere and they want to just be with other people, but again, in a safe environment, just having a beer, listening to music, letting their dog play, have a play date, running around. And you see families wanting the same thing. They just want to unwind a little bit. They just want to have a beer, a glass of wine, and let the kids play, listen to music. That's a wonderful way to spend a Friday night.
But Chapel Hill faces special challenges with such a district due to UNC's proximity to downtown.
We are a university town, which means we have a lot of students, and we do worry about underage drinking or people over drinking. And so we're going to have to keep an eye to make sure that that doesn't happen when you create a social district. And so we're just going to take it on a smaller scale and try to figure out how it could work for us.
For now, as a test run, Chapel Hill will allow drinking outside at select and smaller scale events, like the Tracks Music Series throughout September. But to fully consider it, Crank Arm owner Adam Eckhart says people should experience it for themselves.
This isn't a carte blanche for people to act the fool. It's a way for folks that want to be responsible and be outside and walk from place to place with a drink to do so. So if you're a community considering this, I would say come visit us, see how it's working for us, and take notes.
And the Chapel Hill Town Council will be paying attention to the impact of Raleigh's social district, and they expect to discuss one in Chapel Hill in the spring. In downtown Raleigh, I'm Sophie Mallinson.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Husband School of Journalism and Media that airs Saturday mornings at 8:30 right here on 97.9 The Hill. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. First of all, big congratulations to longtime UNC men's tennis coach Sam Paul. This year, he'll be inducted into the North Carolina Tennis Foundation Hall of Fame. An announcement came down Tuesday. Paul has been UNC's head coach for 29 years. He's the all-time leader in UNC in ACC wins, and his teams have won two ITA national indoor titles and reached two NCAA Final Fours. The induction ceremony will be in Pinehurst in January. The conference schedule is out, meanwhile, for UNC women's basketball as the Tar Heels look to build on last year's trip to the Sweet 16. Carolina's ACC slate will begin with a home game against Florida State on December 29th. Other home opponents include Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Virginia, Virginia Tech, BC, Wake Forest, and, of course, NC State and Duke on January 15th and 19th, respectively. Get the full schedule on our website, chapelboro.com. Elsewhere in Carolina sports, a pair of Tar Heel wrestlers are in Serbia this week, competing in the United World Wrestling World Championships. Slightly redundant name. Freshman Lachlan McNeil is representing Team Canada, while UNC alum Ethan Ramos is with Puerto Rico. In baseball, the Durham Bulls lost at Gwinnett last night, 7-2. That's four losses in a row now for the Bulls. They're now half a game behind Scranton in the standings. The Bulls are back in action tonight at Gwinnett at 7:05. Finally, some sad news from the UNC sports world. Condolences to the friends and family of Lafayette Ferguson Norton, former Tar Heel baseball star who led UNC to its first ever College World Series back in 1960. Ferguson passed away on Sunday at the age of 83.